Hey, and welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-host, Mike.
That's me.
You made me very uncomfortable last weekend.
I did?
Yeah, you did something that I honestly don't know whether to make heads or tails of it. I don't know why I would make either, because it's not a coin. It's just a weird thing you did to me.
It's like Inception. The top just keeps spinning. You just don't know.
No, it's not a top either. It's just a really weird thing you did to me. No wordplay, no metaphor, none of that.
Okay.
You were in my backyard. I got home after a night of laborious drinking.
Yeah, of course.
I call it laborious because it's my job to hate myself and poison my liver.
And the word laborious.
I get to my backyard and I see the grill on and I'm a little confused because again, it's night. It's like 2 a.m. at this point. My grill is going and I'm smelling some frankenfurters on it. And you walked out in what I thought you were naked. Turns out you were wearing one of those cheeky aprons that make it look like you're naked.
Hey.
But here's where it gets weird. So the apron fell down. The apron fell off of you and you were in fact naked.
Yeah.
Just weird flex, but okay. And you picked it up and you put the apron, you like pretended it was an accident, but we could tell that, yeah, I could tell that you'd been planning this for hours on end. Again, a weird decision of how you would spend your Friday night, but I'm not going to judge. So you grab the apron, you put it back on, and I noticed the shaft part. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't looking.
Right.
I wasn't at a urinal peeking to make sure that I had the biggest battleship in Potomkin.
Mine's an aircraft carrier.
Yeah. I wasn't doing that, but my eyes glazed the area, and I realized that the apron's genital was, it looks like it had been cut out with a knife. It was almost like a reverse, like, it was in fact your genitals, and... I'm just uncomfortable. I honestly, I'm having trouble looking you in the eyes right now.
I don't understand, Nick. You've never done night grilling before?
Someone else's backyard, yeah, buck-ass nude. Well, I don't think I have. I think that may be on the bucket list.
She's grilling some hot dogs at night. You get a nice breeze going, you know, you're good.
You're okay.
And who said... Oh. No one said to come in the backyard, Nick. You could have used the front door like a normal person.
It's my house. I'll do whatever the goddamn hell I want.
You said it was your house. I own everything.
This is news to
me.
What
are you talking about? This is my house.
Hey, welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. This is Nick.
God damn it.
I host this. This is Mike. He's my childhood best friend. He's apparently a nudist who likes to grill in other people's territory.
I just like grilling. I had an apron on. I wasn't naked. I also had shoes on just in case some hot grease fell down on my feet.
Okay,
I don't need my
Crocs. Are not shoes.
How dare you? They're comfortable and they're
don't
useful.
Say stylish. Don't say
they're stylish.
Oh, he said it. He said
you
it.
You seeing all these
He's
Crocs
lying
that are coming
on the airwaves, and we're not even getting sweet Croc money.
God damn it, Nick! You've seen the styles of these Crocs. There are boots for them. There are women's shoes. There is a goth one with spikes and chains.
Boots for the man who has nothing to be ashamed of. .. But probably should be.
And there's fuzzy Crocs. These things. They have fuzzy ones of these, Nick. You gotta. And he's just Crocs. And they float.
For everyone listening, he actually just pulled up a pair of Crocs.
I will throw this Croc at you. They bend. You can just stick them in a small compartment and hope they don't explode on you.
That's cool. You could just cram them into it themselves. You could just have them compress inward like a black hole.
Yeah.
Probably where they deserve to go. Anyway.
Hey, don't judge. Don't you dare diss Crocs, son.
I'm not.
I will shank you.
Oh, good news.
Shank you very much.
And then I'll have to go to a hospital, which is a segue because today we're talking about Scrubs.
Oh!
Awesome TV show from 1999-ish. It's like the late 90s took place and it ran pretty consistently until the like 2000s. I think its last season ended. Its last proper season ended in like 2009, I want to say. 2008? Yeah, 2008, 2009.
But that was season 8 or season 9?
That is season 8.
Or season 8, okay.
Because the actual last season of the series came out when we were freshmen in high school, so 2009.
But we don't like to talk about that one.
Yeah, it sucks. That's why. I'll just say it. The last season of Scrubs sucks the big one.
They couldn't just end it. They ended the 8th season. They ended the series very well.
Yeah, they did.
And they just had to beat the dead horse.
Exactly. So here on the media... I tripped up on my words there.
You disappoint me.
Oh, coming from you, that's a tall order.
These Crocs are disappointed in you.
Mr. Kiss the Cook. See, what really drove me nuts about the stupid fucking apron was the fact that it was false advertising. It was a very clean-chested apron.
I see.
There was no hairs anywhere. It looks like this man ran a Gillette through it in the shower that morning. I just felt lied to, I guess. I wasn't expecting goddamn Bigfoot under the apron. Whoa. Anyway.
It's cold, Nick. It's my winter fur.
It's your winter fur. It's for hibernation.
This chest gets cold in the winter, Nick.
Haven't you ever heard of a beard, a chest beard?
Shave the beard, shave the chest hair for a beard, or a beard for a chest?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
So here on the Media Obscura podcast, Mike and I, we like to pick up TV shows and movies that we consider obscure.
Yes.
Now, how we define obscure is totally dependent on how we feel like defining obscure that week. It could be a show that we have never heard of, that got like no recognition in its time, a deeply underrated or forgotten series or movie, or it could be something that actually got some appeal that not that many people these days talk about anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, you like that? It's very vague. It allows us to basically do whatever we want.
Power.
How about that? So today we're doing Scrubs, which is one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Yes.
And it's a show that I reference just pretty consistently in my day-to-day existence. And Scrubs follows several doctors at Sacred Heart Hospital. It's a teaching hospital. At the center of it is JD, played by Zach Braff. You got his best friend and roommate, Turk, played by Donald Faison. And then you have his wife, Carla, or his girlfriend and then eventual wife, Carla.
Spoilers.
And then you have Elliot, one of JD's best friends that he's hopelessly in love with. Good stuff all around. And yeah, I've been watching Scrubs since I was a kid, basically. Like, I was into it in, I want to say, middle school. I was in middle school. I watched the reruns of it and stuff on Comedy Central. And then high school came around. I watched the last season when it was live, like when it was actually playing on TV. Kind of fell out of it, wasn't too thrilled about it. And then in college, I ended up picking up the series again, and I would watch it basically once a year without fail. And I've basically been doing that since.
Yeah. Oh my God. But now you can't.
Why can't I?
Because.
Oh, because of my girlfriend. Ugh. That's just a whole thing. I'll get into that later. But you.
Me.
Scrubs and you. Have you watched Scrubs before I got like heavily into it again?
No. I only heard about Scrubs and seen Scrubs from you. So it was obscure to me.
Uh-huh.
Forever, however long. I never heard of it growing up. Oh, maybe. I probably have heard of it growing up, but then it just faded out of my memory, like most things. And only you have showed me the clips and the funny stuff. And like Scrubs, I like Scrubs. You got me into it, so now I watch it. Damn it!
Yes.
And then you have this. You have the JD Funko Pop.
Yeah, I have it like literally next to me. Little JD just, Funko.
I'm actually thinking
this might be the first Funko Pop that I open. I have like 10 or 15 of them, but I've never opened them or taken them out of the box.
I get two, so you leave one in, and then you take the one
maybe
out.
Maybe, but like I kind of like the idea. So my routine with Scrubs is after a long day at work, I work for like close to 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then I spend an hour and a half on the way to work in a train every day, and then an hour and a half to come back. That's my commute. So I'm out of my house for like 13 hours a day. By the time I get home, I usually am exhausted. I watch TV and I relax. You know, I might have a beer or something and just watch TV. I was watching Scrubs a lot. And I was thinking I might take JD out of the box just to have a little JD Funko Pop next to me while I watch Scrubs every night. It's nerdy. It sounds so nerdy, but like I kind of want to do it.
What's stopping you? You going to depreciate the value of the Funko Pop?
God forbid, man. It's like those Beanie Babies. I want to send my kids to college that Funko Pop money one day. You know, my aunt... God bless my aunt, by the way. I love her. She's like a second mother to me. But this is the aunt on my mother's side, the one that lives in town.
Yes.
Yeah. So
she has a massive Beanie Baby collection that she's had since I was a kid.
That was my aunt.
I've never had the nerve to ask her if she thought she was going to send me to college by selling them or something, or if she was just like collecting them, or if she actually thought about selling them at some point.
Yeah, but
I think it's interesting.
I think they're in too deep, and there's like, no, I'm sticking to it. No regrets.
Well, I mean, I have nothing against collecting stuff. If you like collecting something, collect it. Like, what do I care?
Except when you become a hoarder.
The whole Beanie Babies thing. Yeah, that's funny because you're talking about me. But like the whole Beanie Babies thing is actually insane. That thing from the 90s where everyone was buying up every Beanie Baby they could get their hands on.
It's happening, I guess, with the Funko. No, not the Funko Pops, because we could still get the ones we want. They're not like stores not empty.
Some
by
of them
it.
Are, but like, yeah.
I will say the like BTS K-pop group, their Funko Pop is coming out soon. And I think those are going to go real fast because BTS fans they just want everything.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to like sound incendiary to anyone who likes K-pop. I don't have anything against K-pop. No, I really don't.
Okay, that's fine.
Like, Thera has like one or two K-pop groups that she likes and she's put them on in the car and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, K-pop fans terrify me.
Yeah.
They are terrifying.
I'll give you that.
You know? So yeah, you weren't familiar with Scrubs growing up. That's
no
to pull us back.
Yeah, no, you're the only one that really shows me the Scrubs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird that Scrubs isn't like talked about more in like the public domain.
It's a really good show.
It's a good show. A lot of the names on it went on to do like good things. Like Zach Braff has since he directed Garden State in 2004, which is a movie that a lot of people like to make fun of for being overly sentimental and a total indie movie cliche, but like I like it just fine. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie.
Who plays Dr. Cox? He's become a famous actor too, right?
Yeah, Dr. Cox. Well, first he was in Platoon.
That's it.
Yeah, so like that's a thing. Oh my God, I can't remember his name for the life of me right now, but yeah, he's since been on the IFC show Stand Against Evil or something, which is like basically just a ripoff of Ash versus the Evil Dead, only Dr. Cox is Ash from Evil Dead.
Dr. Cox, really?
It's like John C. something.
John C. McGinley.
That's what it is. Yeah, he's since been on that, and you know, he's kind of kicking it around. He was in the movie Wild Hogs. In a scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's the gay guy in the springs.
That's it. That was funny.
Which was, yeah, I remember as a kid seeing Wild Hogs and like immediately being like, that's Dr. Cox. What? Dr. Cox, what are you doing?
He was in Office Space.
He was in Office Space too.
Point Break. Nothing to Lose.
Yeah, so he's been around.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, I think he was a very well-known actor at the time when the show came out, right?
Yeah, so, he was known enough. He was in enough stuff.
Was Platoon out already when the show came out?
Platoon came out in the 80s.
And this is 90s.
Yeah, like 99, I think.
Okay, so yeah, he's a very well-known actor in this.
Yeah.
Zach Braff is, I think, starting out because of this?
Yeah, Zach Braff, I think, had done commercials up until that point, and like he was still auditioning for stuff, and then he got this role because of Bill Lawrence, the creator of Scrubs, just kind of hitting it off with him during an interview.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, first off, Bill Lawrence is just hilarious. If I'm not mistaken, he was a writer on the first season of Friends. I might be misremembering that, but I remember hearing something to that effect.
Is that the only good season?
I mean, I like Friends. I like Friends for what it is.
I like the theory about Friends and how they're like the seven deadly sins.
Nah, see, I don't care to over-trivialize Friends. I think if you're trying to get the meaning of life out of Friends, you're watching it wrong or like something that deep. But like, I like Friends and shows like How I Met Your Mother and Full House and stuff, because after a long day, sometimes all we need is just something like very, you know, it just kind of hits a spot. You know,
yeah,
it's like McDonald's when you're on a long road trip. Like, yeah, I could cook when I get home, but I had a long day. I was on the road all day. I just want to eat a Big Mac.
Yeah.
You know,
some crunchy fries with a Frosty. And
yeah, exactly. Frosty's Wendy's.
No, well,
get a McFlurry.
Yeah, that proves I don't really eat much of the fast food.
I think you only eat fast food when you hang out with my girlfriend and I.
Yeah, I'd be craving something.
I only eat fast food when I'm with my girlfriend. Otherwise, I'm actually like, I'm not a healthy eater, but like.
Yeah, I eat Wendy's when I'm with my girlfriend. Like, we get a Frosty. I'm like, and that's where I found out you're supposed to have fries with your Frosty. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's the way that works. Come on now.
What?
Fries in a milkshake.
I never stuck my fry in a milkshake.
Ugh. Well, you're not from the 50s.
They did that in the 50s. This is not a new thing. No, this has existed.
That's like classic. I mean, I think the fries and milkshake, maybe whoever's listening to this, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram with your take on this, because now I'm just curious. First off, our Twitter and Instagram is at the Media Obscura. Seriously, reach out to us if you have a take on this.
Please tell me I'm not the only one that doesn't, like, had no idea that you're supposed to do that.
Every time someone reaches out to us with a, yeah, that's what you do, I'm just going to forward you a picture of it.
Son of a...
But yeah, I mean, when I think of that, I think of just like that Americana image. I'm at a 50s diner. I'm at Mel's Diner from Happy Days. And the Fonz is a couple of cars over doing Fonz things.
Hitting some jukeboxes.
Jukeboxes by hitting them. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think of when people are dipping their fries in milkshakes. But anyway, Scrubs.
Scrooby Scrubs.
Scrubs. We actually watched multiple episodes of this. I've shown you episodes over the years of this.
Yeah, and I've gotten kicks. I love the show. And it made me emotional because, my God, this show is not just a comedy show. It has emotion in it. It's funny. It's serious. It's sad. It's really good. And you said it was one of the most accurate. More accurate shows.
I've heard that it's actually pretty medically accurate.
That is cool.
Which I think is interesting. So when I used to have my old job, I used to work at a Toys R Us before I kind of got a better paying job. Yeah, rest in peace, Toys R Us. But I used to come home from like closing on like Saturday nights all throughout college, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And especially my senior year when I like properly got crazy about Scrubs again. Because I got into it my freshman year of college again, and then it kind of tapered off and would come back in bursts. But like senior year, I got super into it again, which I might tell that story because that's kind of a good story in itself.
Cool.
But I would watch Scrubs while I was eating dinner in my kitchen. And my mom, who has been a nurse since like forever, since the 80s.
There's never a time that she wasn't a nurse.
Yeah, I mean, she was born a nurse. She delivered herself, in fact.
What?
I'd believe it. No, she would like listen, and she would kind of tell she was nodding along.
She's like,
when
yeah,
they'd be talking
yeah.
about procedures, like, yeah, that's what you would do. That's not how you pronounce that, but that's how you would do it. Like,
love it. I love it. Yeah. Oh my God. I should play Scrubs in front of my aunt. She's a nurse too.
Well, there you go. But it's one of those shows that's been in my life in some capacity forever.
You should be a doctor.
I should be a doctor.
Go back to school, become a doctor.
I got very disenfranchised with my degree last year. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I got like super depressed about it last winter. It was obvious. It was definitely obvious that I was depressed, but like I was very upset about it. And I actually thought about going to study and become a medical technician. Because they can make like pretty good money.
Name a character in the show that is a medical technician.
I don't think there is one on the show that's like an actual character. But yeah, I mean, I thought about doing it just because like I was pissed off about career troubles I was having and not making. I mean, I'm still not making as much as I'd like. I want piles of it. What's that?
But you enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy my job. But yeah, I mean, Scrubs. Let's dive into the actual plot. Of the episode. We're talking about the pilot to Scrubs. It's
name of the episode.
I think it's called My First Day.
Come on.
It's called My First Day.
You keep talking, I'll make sure.
I'm actually like positive it is. But it follows JD. He wakes up, John Dorian, played by Zach Braff. It's his first day of working at Sacred Heart Hospital. He's actually an intern there. And he's freaking out. He's nervous. He didn't sleep. And we're immediately just introduced to him in the colorful way that he likes to look at the world.
You win. It is called My First Day. And it came out October 2nd, 2001.
It came out. Oh, wow. It didn't come out in the 90s?
No, it came out when we were in first grade.
Huh. I could have sworn it was from the 90s.
Well, it looks like the 90s, but apparently not.
Okay. But yeah, so it's his first day. He's freaking out about work. It's in standard definition because Scrubs every season of Scrubs except for the last two wasn't presented in HD, and you're never going to see it in HD, honestly.
Like, do you think that's the reason why no one's going to watch it again?
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we dive into the plot, I should explain why I think the show constitutes as being obscure. Because it was a beloved show. It, I think, won some Emmys. It was definitely nominated for an Emmy at some point. But the reason the show is obscure is because, yeah, it isn't available. 7 of the 9 seasons aren't available in HD.
That's nuts.
Yeah, they are literally only available in standard definition, even in syndication. Like, Scrubs still plays on TV to this day in syndication on some channels in standard definition. And it's sometimes made worse because depending where it's played, they might show it in the original 4:3 aspect ratio, or they might crop in and zoom in.
Oh.
Meaning that that 480p signal is actually being zoomed in on and made blurrier just so that it's widescreen.
Becoming 240p or 1666.
Yeah, whatever the resolution then becomes, right? And that's like, that. Besides the other glut of problems that comes up when you crop in like that, like the framing just becomes fucking ugly.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the reasons why I actually still would prefer watching The Simpsons in standard definition off a DVD versus the HD masters of them.
But you think it looks better that way?
No, it looks blurrier and it looks, the colors aren't as vibrant and stuff, but at least it's in 4:3 because on the HD versions of the old episodes, they zoom in on stuff.
So why don't you play it on the old TV you have in the back?
I do.
You watch Scrubs and Simpsons?
Yeah, yeah. I watch, whenever I watch DVDs, I try to use the oldest TV I have access to. Like in my bedroom, I have a TV that only goes up to 720p. And I love watching standard definition on it because it doesn't upscale as much. So it still looks kind of good.
I have a really old TV. It's a dial TV that has the antennas.
That, see, but after a certain point, like something like that versus like a 480p TV, but you know.
I used that growing up. So I watched cartoons Saturday morning on that TV.
Yeah, and it's nostalgic for you, right?
So I think it would look good on it. Because, I don't know.
No, seriously. If you have the ability to, and I guess if you're crazy, because I am telling you to watch stuff on worse equipment technically, but like, I think it looks better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I trust you with that. Yeah.
I love watching DVDs on older TVs.
I agree. It's going to look better and it's going to be more nostalgic.
Yeah. I think some of it, right? Some of it might be placebo too. I'm not going to pretend that it actually is putting out a better picture. Although I do think it is, because just the way upscaling works.
It's more fun.
But instead of throwing this into a super technical discussion of how upscaling is the devil, don't. Don't ever watch a DVD on a 4K TV because it will not look good.
Or 8K.
Yeah. I mean, we were watching Scrubs on this 4K TV and it looked bad at points.
Yeah.
Like, it looked blurry. So.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything to, because they don't have the rights anymore to the music, right?
That's why I think it's going to never get remastered. So going back to the point I was trying to make.
Yes.
The reason why I think we'll never see the old seasons of Scrubs in HD, it simply costs too much to license the music again. And when you're remastering a TV show like Scrubs that was shot on film, unfortunately, you have to go back and rescan every episode of the movie, of the show, and then re-edit it from scratch to match the broadcasted version.
At that point, you're just making a new show.
You may as well, like, yeah, exactly. And that's like the problem. And there are shows that go through this process because they're such powerful, well-known shows. And a lot of these shows don't seem to have licensed music all over them. Or if they do, it's very occasional.
How do they get the rights to those songs?
Well, they would have to, they just license them.
Is it too expensive now to do it?
I think it's some weird thing where if they remaster the show, they would have to re-license. Whereas to keep the already edited shows, they might have been able to get it for a bit cheaper. I don't know how the copyright end of things works.
That's weird.
But I think it's also just the amount of labor that would have to go into, you know, you would have to remake Scrubs ostensibly. It would just be like a ridiculous undertaking. And again, shows do it. The X-Files was given an incredible remaster. For anyone into this sort of thing, seriously, do some reading. Just start Googling about like the X-Files HD master, because you will see some pretty cool articles. Freaks and Geeks got a really good remaster in HD. It's off a 4K source. Looks amazing. Buffy the Vampire Slayer got a terrible one. Like, just an infamously terrible one. I actually prefer watching Buffy in standard definition on Hulu, even though the HD version is literally on Facebook for free.
What did they do to make it bad?
So, the show was filmed with widescreen film, but it was never blocked for widescreen. It was always framed for 4x3, the box. So, when they opened up the frame, sometimes you'll see characters who are supposed to be talking off screen and you'll see them saying their lines, but their character is now in the frame and their mouths aren't moving because they were never intended to actually be seen. There's shots where you can see like camera crews on the side capturing from another angle.
Oh, no.
And then on top, there's a bunch of YouTube videos about this. Again, highly recommend if you guys are at all intrigued by this sort of thing.
He recommends you do.
Yeah. But there's another one, and this is from the video. They recolor corrected, or they didn't color correct the remaster. So the thing about Buffy is it uses a lot of color correction to help enhance the mood. There's a lot of day for night. Day for night is when you digitally make it look like your scene takes place at night, but it was obviously shot
like
in the day.
Clerks.
No. Clerks is, that's not day for night. Day for night is like adding a blue tint to your footage almost to imply it's nighttime. That's like the layman's term for
the way I can understand it.
Yeah, that's like simplified. I'm so simple. Buffy, a show about vampires who can't go out in broad daylight, the HD version doesn't remaster it so that some of the vampires aren't out in daylight.
Oh, look at the sun. Wow,
the moon looks great tonight. Angel, that's the sun. What?
My beauty! What a world!
Oh, now they're witches, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Wrong.
Wrong movie.
Wrong occult thing.
You think they remastered Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz was never not remastered, I think.
Oh, God.
movies too much of the treasury.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that actually, I think, got us 8 or 16K restoration like a year or two ago, God. If I'm not mistaken. I remember reading something about it.
You could see the strings on the monkeys.
Yeah. Like, no, film preservation is cool, guys.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So Scrubs.
Yeah, I think Scrubs will never get it just because it's like way too much work. You know,
What if the fans did it?
Well, we don't have the film. We don't have the masters.
If they didn't, you can't just digitally alter the video itself with computer magic.
That's not how computers sorcery work. No.
Can't summon Satan through your computer and go,
we
poof.
Can re-export Scrubs in 4K, but we're not adding any quality to it.
There's no way to change the quality.
Yeah, we would need the actual film to do it. And then even then, we would need to re-edit everything.
That's why I have the film.
We would need to find the exact take that they did. Like, it is a very... It's a labor. It's a labor of love.
Yeah.
It's not like Star Wars where they were able to like rebuild the original versions to some degree using like all these different sources because we just don't have the sources.
Right.
But yeah, the first episode of Scrubs.
Yes.
JD wakes up for his first day of work. He's Woo-hoo! Freaking out. He's super nervous. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
He's a doctor now.
Yeah, he's a doctor now. He's gone through, you know, pre-med, he's gone through med school. He's talked about how he spent 8 years of his life in school and incurred massive amounts of debt.
God, that is tough going through med school.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, that's for sure.
How did he do it? The way he is.
Yeah, because he's just a very neurotic guy, and I love him.
I watch Patch Adams, and I see how how he went through med school because he was too silly. And then we got JD
who fantasizes in the opening minute of this show
of casing.
He fantasizes with shaving cream about wearing like a shaving cream bra. He has like a shaving cream hairy chest
and mustache, weird things,
like all these various JD-isms, you know.
The JD-isms.
And he gets to Sacred Heart. He's immediately bombarded with tasks to do, and he feels overwhelmed. He's getting really bad doppelganger syndrome.
That first day going in, that is pretty accurate. I feel like that's pretty accurate for fresh off the boat med school students who become doctors. They go, they study all the books. When they get to the hospital, it has all that is out the door. It's nothing like it's.
No, it's totally, it's not doppelganger syndrome. I misspoke. It's imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome?
Yeah, imposter syndrome is a psychological thing where basically when it's game time, when it's showtime, you start worrying that you don't know anything.
Oh.
That the you that did all of your reading and your homework and stuff isn't you. You don't know what you're doing.
You're just like,
you're psyching yourself out. Yeah.
Oh, we've all done that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's kind of funny because like, it's not just related to being a doctor. It's such a universal thing, I think, you know?
I think that's why Scrubs did so well, because it's such a relatable show.
Sure. Yeah.
You don't have to be a doctor to relate to the show.
No, you really don't. I mean, I'm sure it helps if you're a doctor to some degree.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like, any person, and maybe that's why I got so heavily into Scrubs again. It's just because, like, I'm in a place in my life where I relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's a scene in this episode where JD and Elliot, they're like given a pager by their, I think it's like their resident. Resident doctor. Yeah. He gives them their pages and he's like, all right, this is going to control your life now. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I get it. Like a pager does dictate a doctor's life. There are still doctors who use pagers. You know, some of them just have it texted to them. But yeah, pagers are a thing now, or like they're still a thing.
Mm.
And it's like anyone in the workforce, the modern day pager is using something like Slack or email.
Hmm.
Slack is like a chat thing. It's basically Discord only for businesses. It's literally Discord for businesses. Like
what?
It is designed exactly like Discord.
What? Why don't they just use Discord?
Because Discord's for gaming.
Yeah, but not. What about we have a Discord for podcasts?
Yeah, it's called Discord. No, but like Discord is like the professional use for Slack is the professional use for Discord, kind of.
Okay.
But they're like eerily similar. Like the first time I logged into Slack, I knew where everything was or how it worked because I've used Discord, you know. But yeah, so the whole thing with the pager is just totally relatable. I think it speaks to like anyone who's ever gotten a job.
Yeah.
And JD, this whole episode is relatable. Like, I'm not a doctor. I have never worked in a hospital. I volunteered in a hospital, but it's never been my job. Like, I've never been paid to be in a hospital environment. I've never been in charge of the sort of things that a doctor would be in charge of. Nothing close to it.
Yeah.
And yet I still related to all of it, you know?
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I just don't even know a show is doing good.
Exactly. And, What ends up happening next, Mike? He's at the hospital.
He goes and he cuts the Turk, doesn't it? With him and Turk?
It does. It cuts to his roommate Turk, and we're introduced to Turk, his best friend. They've been friends since college. They've been roommates since college.
Mm-hmm.
They went to med school together, and they got accepted at the same hospital. Turk is a surgeon. He's a slice 'em and dice 'em guy, as he's described.
The jocks of the hospital ward.
Exactly. Yeah, the surgeons are the jocks of the hospital. They they're all about just cutting people open, and they're all about like the thrill of surgery.
Woo! Sticking hands in people.
Yeah. And JD feels alienated by this to some degree. You know, he's concerned about it. He feels like Turk and him kind of live in different worlds.
So what is JD? If Turk's the
medical.
He's medical.
Yeah.
The nerds. He's their brains.
Exactly. He's the nerds. There's the whole scene where Turk is like, yeah, we're going to get a beer, me and the other surgery guys, after work today. And JD's like, yeah, well, all the medical guys are playing Pac-Man over there because we're 12. What's so funny is in another episode, you find out that like Turk, I think it's like Dr. Kelso is really into Pac-Man.
Really?
Yeah. Like it's like his way of relieving stress almost.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so they're, you know, doing that. They're there. And then Elliot shows up and they're introduced to Elliot. We did miss a scene where we're introduced to like Dr. Kelso, who's the chief of medicine at the hospital. We also had a scene where Ted is there. He's the hospital's lawyer, who's very bad at his job, but here he's just like a kind of pathetic guy. Like we don't really, he has one scene and we just see him be sad and pathetic, you know?
If don't tell the patients that you've messed up unless they're dead, In that case, you could just tell them anything.
Yeah, just but make sure they're dead. You know, that's what Ted says. Little aside, the actor who plays Ted actually has cancer.
Really?
Right now. Yeah. It was.
Jeez.
He came out and said something about it like a month or two ago. There is like, I think it's like a Kickstarter or a Patreon just to pay for treatment or some. It's like some donation service. But for anyone listening to this who does want to donate, maybe you remember Ted from like growing up or something or, you know, anything like that. I will put the details like on
You'll
Twitter.
Put the link.
Yeah, I'll put it in our show notes. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to the podcast and you click on like the little notes for the episode, you'll be able to open the description and access that link.
Help out. Every cent counts.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. It's a sad thing. But I love Ted. Ted's one of my favorite Scrubs characters. Mm-hmm. Like he's so funny. There's this one episode where Ted has his briefcase and someone opens the briefcase and they're like, oh, what's this? I don't remember the exact details, so I might flub it up, right? But they're like, oh, what's this? You have these pills and a revolver.
Oh, God.
And Ted's just like, yeah, one of those is for when I get sad, and the other one's for when I get really sad.
Oh, my God.
Which is just, but it's like quintessential Ted. Like...
Yeah. Oh, that same old Ted.
There's another one where they're talking about dreams and Ted's just like, oh no, I just have the same dream every night. He's just there, face down in the water, gasping for air. And he's describing basically drowning Dr. Kelso.
Oh my
God. And Kelso
God.
Just walks past him like immediately afterwards.
Oh, you want to tell people a fun fact about that hospital?
Oh, yeah. It was actually a real hospital that was just like put out of service. Like it was basically abandoned, I guess.
That is so cool.
And they decided to just move in and they got to basically shoot the entire series in it. All of the apartment sets, like the sets that take place outside of the hospital, according to a behind the scenes thing on one of the DVDs, which I saw on YouTube and probably am to some degree half remembering.
Mm-hmm.
Like according to that, yeah, a lot of the sets were in the hospital.
That's nuts.
Like Dr. Cox's apartment, which we don't see in the pilot, but we see in maybe the second episode, third episode, like it's in another episode. You know, that was an actual room where people performed surgery, and it's why the room looks the way it does.
That is cool.
Yeah, I think that's just amazing. I love it.
Using their resource. That's just one building.
Yeah, like why rent out like a studio or a soundstage if you literally have an abandoned hospital to work
with? You think
they
needed to get permission to film there?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
You had to probably rent it or something because it is abandoned, but still probably owned by someone.
Yeah, right? Probably by the city?
Yeah, if it's a hot abandoned hospital, I would think the city owns the land.
I would imagine. I don't know.
I mean, you can go to... I feel... Because there's like... TV shows and stuff, they go to abandoned hospitals for haunted stuff. And
yeah, I'm sure they just rent it out from the city or they pay the city.
Or they just go.
Do you think that's a side hustle for somebody to just like, oh, this is my job. My job is I'm the landlord of this abandoned hospital and I rent it out to movie people.
Hey,
it's a living.
Not this one though, because this one got knocked down.
Yeah, this one got closed and
God, it's like, I feel like it's the equivalent of Adrian's pet shop being knocked down.
That's like, was that actually torn down?
I think so.
In real life? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they, oh, I was sad.
That's kind of like the house from Psycho. I don't know if you watch James Rolfe's YouTube channel at all. He's the angry video game nerd.
Okay.
He did a video about the history of the Psycho house. And how it was literally just a facade. It was literally the two walls you see in the movie. Like it was a fake house.
Okay.
And how over the years there were like additional walls added to it. It was remodeled and moved around. It was next to the Munsters house at one point for like other movies. It's been in like a ton of movies basically.
Hmm.
And like it's now completely unrecognizable to the Psycho house basically. Yeah, like it has none of the original walls.
Wow.
At all or anything.
Is it still being used?
I don't know. I actually don't remember the video. It was a long video and I was on a train listening to it. So I wasn't like fully watching it.
Okay.
But yeah. So JD meets Elliot.
Yes.
And she is this other doctor. She's medical. And he immediately has a crush on her. Like, he pretty instantaneously falls for Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
And he just makes a fool of himself. Like, there's this sketch where they run down a hallway. They're having a foot race. And JD, with his overactive imagination, he does like a cutaway where he's like a triathlon runner.
Yeah, he pours coffee on himself like that's, water.
Yeah, he does like the Gatorade spill thing, but it's just hot coffee.
You do a lot of cardio, don't you? Yeah, I do.
I've been on a dabble.
I like the scene before that when they're going up the stairs.
Yeah.
And she says something, but he's like, in his mind, he's like, don't say it. Like, your butt looks like two Pringles hugging. Like, that caught me off guard. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, that hit you out of nowhere. I remember you got a huge, you laughed at that one pretty hard.
Looks like two Pringles hugging.
it's such like an actual JD thing to say, though. Because he's like, funny. I mean, I just love him. He's a great character, you know?
Yeah, he is. How did he become a doctor? Because I'm no Superman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite I love that song.
It is a good song.
It's one of my favorite songs. I actually love that song so much that I have it on multiple playlists on my Spotify.
Why isn't it a ringtone or something?
I don't know. I might actually make that my ringtone. Yeah, that's a good idea. It's Scrubs has a fantastic soundtrack just overall.
Now that's their song, right? I'm No Superman.
Yeah, it was a song for the soundtrack.
So it was made for the show.
It was either made for the show or it just became synonymous with it. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, it's a great song. It's just like the whole soundtrack for that series is so great. And going back to like that for a second, that's something that was like sorely lacking in this episode.
Music. Oh, this pilot. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, I get it. It's the pilot. You're not going to go out and license music necessarily or a lot of it. But I couldn't. It just felt so empty. The pilot definitely isn't a good like approximation of what Scrubs is. And I think to that end, I think it's good that this wasn't the first episode you ever saw.
Why didn't they use music? Just not other than the licensing,
I guess. Well, okay. So one, I don't know if they actually did in the pilot or not, because
we weren't paying attention to it.
Well, no, I was paying attention, and I know for a fact they didn't use that much licensed music, if any. But interesting thing. So we watched this on Hulu, even though I have the DVD upstairs. I was just lazy to go upstairs and grab it.
Of course.
Naturally. But the DVD releases of Scrubs actually contain the episodes as they aired on ABC with the music. But for whatever reason, some of the songs on the streaming versions are swapped out.
Maybe.
They might be swapped out with stock music. They might be swapped out with a cheaper song. And it definitely comes down to licensing prices. So I don't know if the pilot actually has a soundtrack on the DVD. I've never watched the pilot on the DVD. I usually just stream it.
So like streaming places like Hulu took the music out?
Well, ABC or whoever, it's ABC. I think they own the rights to this now.
Damn.
They swapped the music out probably on some episodes because it just costs too much.
Hmm.
You know?
Damn.
Yeah. And that happens. That does happen with like multiple shows. It's not just Scrubs.
Right. But
it goes to show that there is like this whole thing going on with the licensing of music in the show.
I think something needs to be updated about that.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Right, the running scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get one of JD's daydreams, which is like it's the calling card of Scrubs. Scrubs' sense of humor is
the cutaways.
It's cutaways. It's kind of like Family Guy, only Family Guy's cutaways are like completely unrelated to the episode, largely.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like it's something that a lobster would do, and it's a lobster.
Yeah.
This one.
Whereas like, no. To use your example, Family Guy is like, this is almost as crazy as that time I was in a lobster suit at the Super Bowl.
And it cuts to them in a lobster suit at a Super Bowl.
Exactly. Whereas JD, the JD Scrubs version of that joke would be, sometimes I feel like a lobster. Sometimes I feel like I don't fit in or I don't belong. And then he'll look up to the side and there'll be a quick flash of white and it'll cut to him at the Super Bowl in a lobster suit, standing out like a sore thumb around like a bunch of Patriots fans.
That makes it funnier.
Yeah. Oh, I hope no one ordered clam chowder. You know? or something. You know, like he would, we would come back with a one-liner. That's the Scrubs version of the joke. And it works so well. And what's funny about that is the Scrubs brand of humor is what led me to one of my other favorite TV shows, Ally McBeal.
Ah.
Because the other show from the late 90s, early 2000s that used cutaways in a really similar way to Scrubs is Ally McBeal.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Ally McBeal gags being Lucy Liu's in the show. And she says something super mean to Allie, the titular character.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a quick cut of Allie just standing there with a fucking Uzi.
Oh my God.
Shooting Lucy Liu.
Jeez.
And then it cuts back to Allie just standing there like, that wasn't very nice of you to say, Ling. You know.
Was there anyone from the Scrubs show that worked on Ally McBeal?
No. No, not at all.
What about, who was the person that worked on Scrubs, the main guy?
Bill Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence. Was he known for any other stuff?
He was known for other stuff. He did, oh my God, what's the show called? Spin City, which is it's a sitcom from, this is from the 90s.
Okay.
Well, no, this actually is around the same time as Scrubs. It ran concurrently with Scrubs. Like, it has a lot of the people who guest starred in episodes of Scrubs, like the hypochondriac character in a few episodes, and the drug addict who tries to scam drugs all the time. They're actually like main cast members on Spin City. Michael J. Fox is the main character in Spin City for the first four seasons, and wow, he guest starred in Scrubs also in an episode or two.
What?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's super cool. Like, Spin City is a great show that I've actually been watching. I found the DVD for $5 like a week ago. So I've been like slow. Hey. I've been watching an episode every day,
nice,
kind of to pace myself. And it's great show. Not that similar to Scrubs, but also kind of similar.
Because it has that Bill Lawrence is a...
Yeah, it has like the Bill Lawrence sense of humor, but like it's also a traditional sitcom. Like, okay, it has a laugh track and all that kind of stuff, where Scrubs doesn't.
I hate laugh tracks.
You do? I like them.
I think that fake laugh track is always the same. Because once I figured out that laugh tracks always sound the same, the laughs are always the same.
Yeah,
to
they're
me.
Canned.
I hate it.
Oh.
I hate those kinds. It ruined it for me.
I think that goes back to the whole McDonald's thing we were talking about. Like, oh, sitcoms are sort of McDonald's, you know? Or a lot of sitcoms are like the McDonald's of TV.
Mm-hmm.
I like the laugh track. I think the laugh track, maybe it's the traditionalist in me, but I find them just endearing, you know? After a long day, I know a lot of people take offense to laugh tracks because it's like, oh, they're telling you to laugh now. They're telling you to find this funny.
Yeah.
After a long day, yeah, I'll take it. I'm okay with that.
Because why don't they just use real people? Because they know real people wouldn't laugh at it.
Well, no, it's not just that. It was just, it is there to enhance the humor and make it feel funnier than it maybe is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on some level, like, the laugh track is kind of an art in itself.
Okay.
Like, acting for sitcoms is actually really different from just acting in general. You actually have to pause for laughter, you know?
Do you think they play the laughter during that shot?
While they're filming it?
Yeah, so they know when to stop.
They might, but like, I think it's also just taking a beat. It's reading the room. You know, sitcoms were filmed in front of a live studio audience for a really long time, and some still are, yeah, or at least partly done that way.
As I know John Oliver does.
Yeah, so like, you do have time to hear people. It's performance.
Yeah.
Sitcom acting is like theatrical. It's very like, I'm on stage, I'm doing a play, basically,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I don't know. I like it. I always thought it was fine.
Yeah, when Aaron went to California, her brother lives in California, and he took them to a pilot shooting of a taping of a show that it was about pot. It has that. What's the?
No, I remember. It's a Netflix show.
Yeah,
it had
the woman from Waterboy, the mother.
Okay, I don't know her name.
Oh God, but you know the face.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it was all about weed, and it was apparently not funny. And then like the guy, they warmed them up to make people laugh more. They had a guy come out to warm them up to make people laugh better.
Yeah,
and the jokes were not funny. And then Aaron said something like your jokes, like something along the lines of your jokes aren't funny.
She was heckling him.
Yeah, and everyone found her funny.
Oh God!
Because it was awful, and then they had like these stoner brownies that looked like poo in the show, and they gave those out, and those brownies tasted bad. No one laughed, but I mean, no one laughed genuinely.
Yeah.
They laughed to try to hear themselves on the show, which when we watched that episode, we heard her brother laughing really loud. And we're like, oh my God, it worked. But like everyone was like not happy with that show.
I don't know. I like the idea of going to tapings. Like I know I never went to a sitcom taping. I went to a taping of Conan when he was doing a show at,
Is that when John went with you?
Yeah, yeah. That's when we went. Your brother joined Thera and I for one of Conan's shows at the Apollo. That's it was it. The episode with Bill Clinton in it.
Yes.
Yeah, like, okay, we had a stand-up comedian warm us up before it and stuff. That's kind of the tradition with this stuff. They do a set.
Okay.
It's like, it wasn't like an actual like established stand-up. It was a stand-up for them.
It's
you
like
know?
Concerts. You have the
you have the warm-up and then you do the actual gig. And like, okay, like the stand-up wasn't great, but it was the environment, you know, it was just trying to get everyone to ease up a bit.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't know. I like the laugh track. I think it's harmless.
Yeah.
I think if you get mad at sitcoms, to some degree, like if you're mad at sitcoms for being the lowest common denominator of entertainment or however you feel about it, like, awesome. You're totally justified to feel that way. But I also think that, like, who cares? There's other things to be angry about, I think.
It only just bugs me when I hear they play the laugh track and I hear that same guy laugh the same way over and over again.
I named him.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The guy in the laugh track who does that, like, it's the really, like, you hear the laugh track and then there's that one guy, like, 10 seconds later who's just like, woo!
Yeah, that guy.
No, I call him Wily Willy.
Wily Willy?
Wily Willy.
We got Wilhelm and now we got Wily Willy.
Wilhelm and Wily Willy. Yeah, they're cousins actually.
Oh.
It's Wilhelm Willy and Wily Willy.
Jeez.
The thing about Wily is he doesn't think it's that funny either. he has something wrong with his diaphragm where once he starts laughing, it's kind of like a sputtering engine. It's Woo!
Jeez, like a workout.
Yeah, it's a workout. Well, that's the other thing. Wily Willy, jacked as hell. See, when you hear him on every sitcom ever, you kind of imagine this little scrawny dude. No. He makes the Schwarzenegger look like Mandark from Dexter's Laboratory.
Mandark.
Yeah.
I remember which, Mandark.
Coincidentally, he happens to laugh like Mandark, so that's kind of perfect.
Why remember that? That's an infamous laugh right there.
Yeah, that's iconic.
You just said Mandark. I remembered the character. As soon as you said the laugh, clicked right back into my head. I never thought of Mandark from Dexter's Laboratory ever until now.
I've been thinking about cartoons a lot lately.
Damn it. Is it Hanna-Barbera?
It's Hanna-Barbera.
Damn.
Yeah, not that many people seem to realize it's a Hanna-Barbera. All the original all the original cartoons, Hanna-Barbera.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's always like a lot of, and it's what's crazy about that is most of the main characters in those shows all voiced by the same person.
Yeah, it's the same handful of people.
It's so cool. That's a talent to be able to voice a different thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what made Robin Williams so good and Jim Carrey so good because they always had these different personas
they were
cycle
so
through.
Versatile.
God dang.
Before we get back into Scrubs.
Oh, right. Scrubs.
We were talking about that. Quick aside, did you hear about what happened with Jim Carrey this week?
I did not.
Over the weekend, he said something somewhere on social media.
Probably Twitter.
And Benito Mussolini's granddaughter tried to clap back at him. So Jim Carrey basically got in an argument on Twitter.
What?
With Mussolini's granddaughter.
Okay, you do not have any right to argue with Jim Carrey if you're related to a fascist leader.
I love 2019.
What?
Because only in 2019 can Ace Ventura get in an argument with a fascist's granddaughter.
Oh my God.
What?
Who is there her?
Oh my God. Miss Mussolini, I'd like to ask you a question.
Oh my God, he's doing the butt cheek.
He's doing the butt cheek. So, Scrubs.
I have to look that up now. Thanks a lot. I did not know that.
You're welcome, buddy.
I didn't even know Benito Mussolini had any relatives last.
Honestly, I'm surprised I didn't tell you the day I found out. I should be like a Google alert on your phone for Jim
Carrey.
Yeah, it's Jim Carrey. Like, it's your favorite dude.
He's one of my most favorite actors.
Yeah. But back in the Scrubs verse.
Yeah.
We have JD. He's struggling to get through his first day. He's obviously super infatuated with Elliot. He plans to go on a date with her.
Yes.
He asks her out to dinner.
She's like, maybe.
No, she just says, yeah, sure. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. And she kind of goes about it. And he's excited about that. He finds out that Turk doesn't want to live with him after all. And that Turk's going to live with this guy named the Todd. Who's just your total
surgeon,
beta, alpha male sort of dude.
He's a soy boy.
He's just a bunch of sexual innuendos. And as Scrubs progresses and develops, they make references to him possibly being gay or bi, but like nothing ever really comes of
you
it.
You don't know.
Yeah. I think there's just a point where they're like, I'm the Todd. Like,
he's the Todd.
He's Todd. You know, that's his thing.
Yeah, she's given her answers, then he asks her out.
Yeah.
And then doesn't the same time. Oh, we then after that they Turk and JD meet up, and then the first words to Turk's future wife was Sup.
Oh no, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, it's what's up. That stupid beer commercial.
That was what it was.
Yeah, and Carla is a nurse. She eventually starts dating Turk. They kind of like hook up in the on-call room later in the episode. We're also introduced at one point in this episode to Dr. Cox, who is going to become a mentor of sorts for JD over the course of the series.
And more of a father figure too.
Yeah. And Dr. Cox is, yeah, he is. He's totally a father figure for JD.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Cox is one of my favorite characters in TV history. Yes. He's just a blast. Like, he's just this angry, volatile man. He means well. He is there to help, but he doesn't want you to think that. He wants you to feel like you're on your own so that you can learn to become a good doctor. If you give a mouse a cookie, you know, it's that whole thing.
Yeah. Don't feed deer. They'll come back and then die because they don't have food now.
Exactly. And Dr. Cox is, he basically practices this philosophy because he disregards JD pretty much the second they meet.
Mm-hmm.
He basically gives JD like a second to do a task. And then when he sees that JD is frozen, he gives the task to Carla to do instead. Yeah. Great character.
Yeah, because it's so cool that he's like, he's this character to all like the doctors.
Yeah.
But he's a great doctor with the patients.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a really good doctor. He's really friendly and nice.
He's not friendly or nice. He is a dick, but like,
but the way I see him work with other patients, he's good.
No, exactly. And over the course of Scrubs, we do see him develop and we see him kind of soften up with some patients and stuff like that. Like, he cares about his job.
Yeah.
You know?
He's not half-assing his job. He takes his work with pride.
If anything, he takes his job too seriously.
Yeah.
To some degree. And yeah, he's a great character because of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, my theory about Dr. Cox.
Okay.
This is based off of, a Reddit post from last year.
Okay.
Someone basically, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but someone on r/scrubs, the Scrubs subreddit, which is one of my favorite subreddits to just peruse at night. Someone was basically like, could you imagine a Dr. Cox spinoff about like Cox when he was JD's age, just starting out? And my theory, yeah, besides the fact that I would immediately watch it, my theory that I commented was that Dr. Kelso, the chief of medicine, who is basically the devil,
right,
he was the Dr. Cox to Dr. Cox's JD back then. And that Dr. Cox was essentially like JD when he started working at Sacred Heart. That's my theory.
I like the theory because that one scene where he stands next to Dr. Kelso and is making fun of the newbies.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, it affects you too. He's like, please don't do this to me.
Oh, that's like, from that, another episode.
Yeah, that altercation makes it look like that they go back.
Like, yeah, they have a history of not getting along.
Right.
And like, yeah, I mean, outside of this episode, for the entirety of Scrubs, basically, they are always at ends with each other. I mean, in the last season, they finally start to come together and conglomerate, but that's like 8 years into the show. I don't know. I think it's really cool, like the idea of Dr. Cox being JD at some point. I think it's
that
just
cool.
Like, kind of poetic justice. I think that Dr. Cox is acting the way he is towards JD because he recognizes just all this talent in him be a good doctor.
And now, do you think if JD continued to be a doctor, would he end up like Dr. Cox and then he would do it to another person?
Oh, like if Scrubs had gone on for like another 8 years and he had stayed at Sacred Heart and all that stuff?
Well, even if he went to a different hospital and did the same thing to another.
Yes, I do. I do actually think he would have. I think he would always still be JD at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that he would have his very JD. I don't think he'd be exactly like Dr. Cox, but there is actually an episode in season one where JD gets his own intern.
Oh.
And the way he like discourages the kid from being a doctor, but then at the end of the episode, he ends up doing like a Dr. Cox impression, basically, to get the kid to do the exact same procedure that JD does at the end of this episode, more or less.
Wow.
So
that's so cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that little poetic. It rhymes, you know, it's kind of just powerful. So JD and Elliot, you know, he's excited about the day with Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up not working out because Elliot throws him under the bus during rounds. Rounds is when all the medical interns basically go from patient to patient. They diagnose as a group. It's practice, right? You know? Yeah, he gets thrown under the bus by Elliot during rounds, which is when we get this cutaway of him being a literal deer in headlights, getting run over by a truck. And again, it's that scrub sense of humor. It's very cartoony. It's very not tethered to reality.
Right.
But that's why you love it. You know, I think
it's never boring.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes. Mm-hmm. And JD is just such a whimsical character. Like, no. Like,
he is a very whimsical character.
JD,
I love it.
Is a totally whimsical character, and I love it. That's actually my favorite quality of the show, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Braff, he was on Off Camera with Sam Jones, which is a podcast / TV show / magazine. Really cool. I actually have this issue in my room on magazine.
Nice.
Seriously, the Sam Jones magazine guys are so kind. They actually sell signed copies of the magazine.
Oh.
For like 20, it depends on who it is. But I had ordered the Zach Braff issue for $25.
Wow.
And it was signed by Zach Braff. That's, and I was cool. So excited. But then it turns out there was actually like a stock error. And they actually reached out to me and they were like, hey, we actually don't have a signed copy. We're refunding you the shipping and your $25.
Aww.
But we're giving you the magazine.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they were so kind. But like in an issue of Off Camera with Sam Jones, mm-hmm, / the podcast / the TV episode, Zach Braff basically says what makes JD work as a character for me. JD is an effeminate man who doesn't really care that he's effeminate.
Okay.
You know, he's not a tough guy.
He's JD.
He's JD. He's a feminine guy. He likes apple teenies. He rides a moped. He's all about hugging his friends and expressing his totally valid feelings of affection towards his guy friends.
Right.
You know? And it doesn't make him gay. And that the fact that the character is that way and the character makes it okay to be that way is awesome.
That is cool.
No, it's so positive, you know? I love it. I love that about JD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great character because usually in shows like that, it is the punchline, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it can be the punchline in Scrubs, but like, it's also kind of like celebrating it. Like, yes, it's the punchline, but JD doesn't even really care that it's the punchline.
Which is nice. You're just bringing a positive, like, who cares what people think of you? You just do you.
Just do you, exactly. And, it's just a powerful message overall.
And what happens, when he throws her under the bus?
Oh, JD gets mad at Elliot because she did that. And they basically get in an argument. Remember, they meet in the closet when someone's coding later on? So basically someone starts coding. Coding is when someone's heart stops and every doctor is paged. And basically first come, first serve, whichever doctor gets there first has to stop the guy from dying.
Right.
You know, JD ends up running into a closet because he's not ready for that. And Elliot's in the closet,
mm-hmm,
and they get into an argument about the incident earlier.
Yes.
What happens in there, Mike?
He's like, what was that all about? I'm like, you threw me right on the bus. Like, yeah, it's like every man for themselves. It's So, well, I'm not going. I didn't think I wanted to have sex with you. I don't want any anymore. He's like, we'll do it right here.
Yeah, yeah. Now he like, tries to propose it to him, and then
he's like, yeah, all right. See? I was like, damn it.
Well, damn it, you got me.
Well, I'm not going on this date anymore with you. Yeah. Like, oh, man. And then Dr. Cox just walks in on them, and he just looks at him, he's like, hand me that thing over there.
Yeah, hold it. Hand me that folding cath.
Just Katie just quietly hands it to him, and he gives it back, and Dr. Cox closes the door, which, because Dr. Cox told him not to speak to him anymore in his presence. Mm-hmm. Which is so funny.
Exactly. And again, going back to my Dr. Cox theory, I think Dr. Cox has been there.
That is so, maybe that's his ex-wife.
Yeah, because his ex-wife, who we meet later in the show, she's, you know, she's like on the board of directors for the hospital because her dad was there. So it's totally possible that, yeah, he might have had a similar experience with Jordan at some point.
Dr. Cox is JD from the future. He just went back in time to make sure he did it.
Yeah, I'd watch that movie.
He's a time traveling JD.
It's just Dr. Cox in a DeLorean.
Gotta go back, Jamie. Gotta go
back.
All
right, newbie. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
What's some of the names that he calls JD?
Just any girl's name. It changes from episode to episode. He does Brittany in one episode, Lassie.
What's your favorite name he's given, JD?
Probably Lassie.
Lassie.
Yeah. Yeah. So JD's just doing this. He ends up being on call at night.
Yes, he does. Takes the night shift.
Yeah, not on call. It's a night shift. So he's at the hospital. He's taking care of people at night. He isn't sleeping. If he is, he's very lightly sleeping. He's working around the clock, and he's just dying. I mean, the hours of being a doctor suck.
Yeah.
And what I like is Scrubs does not dance around this. Like, it sucks.
It's real. All that's real.
Yeah. I mean, JD basically says in the first episode, like, I've been working for like 30 hours, basically, you know?
My God.
Think
it's
about
rough.
That. Yeah, it's rough. And granted, you know, you have moments where you can slip away and take a nap or something, I'm sure. But like, at what cost?
Right.
You know?
And let's see. At that point, I remember JD like dozes off mm-hmm. in the chair and he has a dream. What was the dream?
I don't remember.
Oh, he was in love with Elliot. And it was a TV show playing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a sitcom. Oh, whoop-de-doo there. And it's like, it was a kid saying, Dad, how'd you meet Mom? Well, how did they?
It was just, I asked her out and she said, okay. Or it was like, and then I banged her brains out or something.
I banged her brains out and
you
came. It
was something really guyish.
Yeah. He's like, nice. And then they do it. And then I think, I hope that child left because then
the child left and then Elliot got on JD's lap and they started making out. Then it cuts to Dr. Cox being there.
Yeah. He's like, newbie, what are you doing?
Newbie, did you really just page me to ask how much Tylenol I'm supposed to give to Mrs. Wilkins over here? I thought it could exasperate the patient. Newbie, it's regular strength Tylenol. All you have to do is grab a handful of Tylenol, open her mouth, and just throw it in there. Whatever sticks was the right amount.
Damn it, Dr. Cox.
Which, yeah, the Dr. Cox rants are always the best. He gets so flustered, and he starts rambling so much. And
oh, my God.
It's always a delight. I pointed out that that's actually not entirely true. Like, it's... supposedly, isn't it like super easy to overdose on Tylenol?
Apparently you told me it is. Apparently, yeah, I know two is usually the amount you're supposed to take a day.
Yeah, I think I remember from like either Adam Ruins Everything or like one of those kinds of things
mm-hmm.
that like, yeah, it's pretty easy to, you know, die from taking too much Tylenol.
Yeah, it's still a drug. You should be very careful.
Yeah, it's over the counter, but that doesn't mean it's just safe.
People make meth out of over-the-counter drugs.
They really?
Isn't that what they use? They have like cough medicine and use that to make meth?
Come on, you
watch Breaking Bad. You should know this. Oh, fuck.
It's Sudafed. You need Sudafed to make meth. I don't think Sudafed isn't in Tylenol.
I thought it was like cough drops or something.
I don't know, man.
Cough syrup.
Maybe. Maybe.
Not cough drops. The frick was it?
But back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
The whole Dr. Cox thing. I remember I was on Reddit on r/scrubs
yeah.
one night, and someone had actually posted a picture of a Dr. Cox Funko out of the box. And
yeah.
immediately, I think I sent you this.
You did. I remember this.
You remember this? I actually wrote a Dr. Cox rant in the voice of that Funko Pop, which...
I read it in his voice, too.
Yeah, no, it was pretty much perfectly in good. His voice. It definitely was in character.
You do good, Nick.
Thank you. I'm looking for it.
Come on.
Okay, I found it. I found it.
I bet you did.
So it was literally just a picture of Dr. Cox out of the box. And my comment, because I'm a little prick, and this is what I do at 2 a.m., was, who took me out of my box? I can't whistle. You have to do the Dr. Cox whistle. Newbie, I hate to break it to you, but there are three things that I hate more than anything else on God's green earth. Number one, the fact that Jordan has long stopped lying to me when she's going out with a grad student down the hall. Number two, being taken out of my packaging where I'm perpetually protected from the half-baked, possibly murderous Neanderthals that populate this dump of a hospital. And number three, Hugh Jackman. That's another running gag in Scrubs is that Dr. Cox just hates Hugh Jackman.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Please tell me Hugh Jackman comes on the show.
No, he isn't, but that would have
Damn
been
it.
Awesome.
That would have been so funny.
I don't get why he hates Hugh Jackman.
Because Hugh Jackman's amazing.
Because Wolverine. I don't know.
He's a triple threat.
Yeah. Anyway, at some point, Dr. Cox... JD is... He runs to a patient that Dr. Cox is trying to resuscitate or something. And this is at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Basically... also, there's a moment where JD realizes that Dr. Kelso, who is the chief of medicine, he's been super nice for this entire episode.
The safety net.
Yeah, the so-called safety net for everyone. He tells... He realizes that Dr. Kelso is, in fact, not a safety net. He is a man who doesn't care about the doctors or the patients, cares about the insurance and making money for the hospital.
Right.
Which we learn over the course of the series isn't necessarily true. Like, Dr. Kelso isn't a terrible human being. He's just doing what he needs to do to make the hospital run.
Right.
But
stressful.
That's neither here nor there. So... Yeah, he ends up helping Dr. Kelso with a procedure, and Dr. Kelso, Dr. Kelso reads JD's face. He could tell that JD's very nervous mm-hmm. about this, but he's kind of like helpful. He's like, look at me, newbie. You got this.
You mean Dr. Cox?
Yeah, Dr. Cox is saying this. And he kind of guides JD through it, and he's proud of him. Like, JD does it, and JD's like super happy that he was able to do this procedure. He's been spending the entire episode getting nurses to do his procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally accomplishes it, and you know, he feels successful. He feels like a doctor.
You got a second wind.
Yeah. And we get this really great moment that just goes to show how much of a character Dr. Cox is. Like, Dr. Cox is such a, he's not the deepest layered character by any stretch of the word ever, but like, he's a deep character. He's,
Each episode, all the characters like develop so much.
Yeah, they actually grow over the course of the series. And I know one of the complaints levied against Scrubs is by the end of it, the characters were almost caricatures of themselves at points. But like that happens to every TV show. The longer it goes on, the more cartoony the characters become.
Well, we almost forgot one of the greatest characters in this show.
Oh, crap. We actually did. That's because he's not in, like, he's in two scenes.
Well, come on. Those are very important scenes.
He is. He's a very important character. we should finish the Dr. Cox moment and
Damn
then
it,
talk
fine,
about the,
right, fine.
The Dr. Yanitor, as he is. So Dr. Cox, basically while JD's like celebrating his accomplishment, Dr. Cox like goes to pat him on the shoulder and he like stops himself.
He's like, I can't,
walks away. Yeah,
I can't show any compassion for him.
Yeah, and I love it. It's such a nice touch. It shows Dr. Cox does care. You know, he's proud of JD,
but JD doesn't know.
But like, he doesn't want to show it. He doesn't want JD to get lazy.
What's the term of where the audience knows what he did, but the cast, the character doesn't know?
Subtext.
Is it subtext? No,
it's
like
not,
we know that he cares about JD, but JD doesn't know that he cares.
I don't know what the term would be for that, but it's just like, it's just information that JD isn't privy to. It's omitted from JD's perspective, but like, it's there. We can read it. And you know, it's there. We don't need Dr. Cox to look at the camera and go, I'm so proud of this fucking kid right now.
Right.
But like, it's there and we appreciate
That's
it.
That's nice.
Nonetheless. We also get really quick. Turk tells JD that he's scared about being a doctor too. And he agrees to move in with him. So they're going to live together after all, which is great. And the janitor.
Yes, the janitor.
You should talk about the janitor because he's your
favorite.
What's
the name of the janitor?
Oh, we actually don't find out. He's just known as the janitor until the last episode of season 8.
He was in what show? What other show was he in? He was in a family show.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a family sitcom on ABC.
Yeah.
That ended like a year or two ago.
Okay. So, yeah. This janitor, he's fixing a sliding door, like an automatic door.
Mm-hmm.
And JD is waiting for for someone. He's like, yeah, I'm just waiting for someone. He's like, yeah, I'm just fixing the door here.
Door's busted.
He's like, well, if there's a penny stuck in there, it's like, and you go, JD looks at him and goes, why a penny?
Did you put a penny in there?
No.
If I find a penny in there,
let's just make it small talk.
I'm coming for you.
If he puts a screwdriver to his chest, if I find a penny in there, I'm coming to get you. And then later in the episode, when he gets his second wind, he's sitting on a stretcher getting pushed around. He sees the janitor holding a penny up and he does the I'm watching you thing. And he's like, oh crap. And he starts running away.
Which I love. The janitor is a great part of Scrubs. Like, he basically goes and has this vendetta against JD for like 8 years over a penny.
That's why it started.
Started the vendetta.
Oh, my God.
And like, I think there were originally plans for the janitor to just be an imaginary character. Because in a lot of the early episodes, he doesn't interact with anyone except JD.
Hmm.
You know? So I think that's just so funny. I also think... And correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
How dare you? Not even waiting to see where I took the conversation. This could have been a good joke. This could have been the clip for the internet, but now we'll never know. We'll never know.
Okay.
What were you saying?
My camera stopped a while ago because I don't think we formatted it.
I was actually going to use this as the clip too. You mean to tell me I started to warm myself up for nothing?
Yes. Just use you and have me just like this.
It's just a still of you going technical difficulties.
Hang in there, baby.
We're taking that picture as soon as the episode's done.
Okay. If you use it, that'd be so funny.
Yeah. So anyway,
my God, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, no, I genuinely just love the janitor and JD's rapport so much. And like, I genuinely kind of see that as our friendship because we are always at each other's throats.
Yeah, the roles are always reversing, but it's us.
It's totally just that.
Like, I think like this, there's a part of one episode that JD's driving his moped into a puddle and he just gets submerged and sees a manatee. Yeah. And I think that moment I'm JD and I come out, I'm like, I think I was in like another world. I saw a manatee. Did you see a manatee? Yeah. That's Jerry.
That's Jerry. I didn't get his name. That sounds like Jerry.
No, talking manatee.
That is absolutely a conversation that you and I would have with like a completely straight face. Like nobody would think twice about it.
Oh.
You know, it's just the way we talk.
I love that janitor.
Yeah. But the episode, it ends with JD leaving Sacred Heart after his first shift.
Ends at a high note.
It ends on a high note, and that sums up the pilot of Scrubs. What did you think?
I love it.
The pilot or the show?
Yes.
Good answer.
If you had to tell someone to start watching Scrubs, would you tell them to start at the pilot, or would you tell them to watch a different episode before that?
I think
to get them to started on Scrubs.
I think that you could. I mean, the pilot wasn't bad. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a terrible pilot, but it's definitely not the best episode of Scrubs by any stretch of the word.
Nah.
And that's because it doesn't quite feel like scrubs yet.
Well, does the pilot of any show ever be the...
No, you're right.
It's just the pilot.
Yeah, you're right. The pilot is them figuring it out. Sometimes they're dumbing down the show in order to get it greenlit, you know? But, like, it's a fine episode. It just doesn't feel fully like Scrubs yet. There aren't as many cutaways as other episodes. The lack of pop music, you know, kind of... It didn't bother me, but it was jarring. On top of that, you know, it's setting up a lot of the characters and stuff, which is great. Obviously, we need to set up our characters for any kind of story, but these character types are such sitcom archetypes. It's the guy and the girl, will they or won't they? It's the best friend who met the love of his life and is happily with her. It's the stern, tough, but caring mentor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're all archetypes, so you could very easily skip the pilot. Now, if you want to watch it, I'm not going to say not to. It's a great episode, but, like, at the same time, I would probably put it in, like, my top 20 weakest episodes of Scrubs. That's not to say it's bad.
What would you be in your number one episode?
The clip show episode. There's an episode where it's a slow day at the hospital and they just recycle clips from other episodes. Okay. And it's like basically a 30-minute montage of other Scrubs episodes.
Okay.
And that's the only episode that I think is like actively not good. I still wouldn't call it bad because it has like a couple of good jokes in and of itself.
Yeah.
But like, it's the weakest. You know?
Yeah.
If I had to recommend a single episode, but I mean, go ahead and watch the pilot first off, but like, if I had to recommend a single episode, I would say either the first season Christmas episode, which I think is the only Christmas episode, or episode 4. I think it's episode 4. It's an
episode. Are they all their characters?
Yeah, yeah. We're basically the it basically is the episode that establishes that Scrubs will be more than a comedy and that it will have heart-wrenching episodes.
I think it's 4.
Hell, go nuts. Watch the last episode first. Do it backwards.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. Don't. Although that would be a...
That would throw you off.
That would be an interesting way to experience any show.
What if you do it like Memento, end, beginning, and just work your way back into the middle?
Mike, I think you just found the way I'm going to rewatch Scrubs now.
Oh, God.
And we just watched the first episode today. I'm going to watch the last one.
One, just go out, middle, and then work your way back out again?
Yeah, but when I say the last episode, I mean the last two episodes of season 8 because it's a two-parter and season 9 doesn't really count.
All right, fine.
But fine. Yeah, that's the Memento. You know how there's the machete order for watching Star Wars?
What's the machete order?
The machete order is to watch episode 4, episode 5, go to episode 2 and 3, skip episode 1 entirely, and then watch episode 6.
What?
Yeah, people say the machete order is the best way because after you find out that Darth Vader is Luke's dad, we get two prequel movies that flesh that out before we go into episode 6 to resolve it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's the machete order.
Nice.
And then I guess it would be episode 7, 8, and 9 after, I don't know. Like, it was before the new trilogy.
Well, I would think you want... No, you. I would think you would want to watch... Before 4, you'd want to watch Rogue One.
Yeah, I mean, this four. Is the machete order doesn't bring into account the new Star Wars movies.
So they got to update that damn thing.
I don't know. I honestly
unless
think
the fans are not happy about those.
It feels like most people hate the new Star Wars. That's a tangent for another day.
That's another. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Would you recommend Scrubs to people? Yes. And would you recommend the pilot?
Yeah, I would recommend the pilot. Pilot's still funny. Yeah. I would still let them. Because Dr. Cox is in it, and I feel like they'll hit off with Dr. Cox.
Yeah. Dr. Cox does feel like the most fully realized character in this.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, I love Dr. Cox. He's always a delight. That I never, even though he goes on these long rambling tangents like I tend to, I never find myself like getting annoyed at them.
No.
You know? He's a very relatable character. Anyway, guys, that... brings us to the end of our episode of the Media Obscura podcast.
Woo-hoo.
I sincerely hope you enjoyed it. Now, I don't know about Mike, but if Mike's anything like he was the night I walked into my backyard and saw him hanging Chad in the backyard.
What about Chad?
That's your penis. And your penis is named Chad.
It is?
It is now. Yeah, if it's anything like that, Mike probably hopes you enjoyed it too. I don't know.
Chad hopes you enjoyed it.
Oh God. My Chad God. Needs to stop talking so much.
It's all speaking about Chad the third person.
Yeah, but if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to let us know. Totally reach out to us on like Instagram or Twitter at The Media Obscura. Or do us a solid and recommend the show to a friend. If you have a friend that you think would really enjoy this, send it over to them. We have a Podlink account, so it's like this super Podlink is the super amazing website that basically conglomerates all the podcast hosts for a specific show onto it. So you could go on pod.link, type in Media Obscura, and suddenly be given a link to a page with all of our like locations for our show. Or you could get that link off of our Instagram or Twitter page, and you can send that to your friend. And regardless of whether or not he's on Android or Apple or on a web browser, he'll be able to actually open that link and find the podcast. Or you could just tell him, go on your favorite podcast player and type in Media Obscura. That was a lot easier. That made a lot more. So why didn't you stop me?
Because you look like you handle
it. I wasn't. I was drowning out here and you were just like,
I'm on.
I don't have a pool noodle. I got ramen. Will that work?
Yeah, you can make some. When life gives you lemons, you throw them at Nick in the pool so he continues.
So he starts drowning and starts screaming about lemon juice in his eyes.
He'll just inhale a lemon and stop talking to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
I was at a bar with our friend Jackson and Raekwon on Friday night.
Yes.
And Jackson, besides the fact that I did shots of Fireball, which I've already talked about at length with you.
Bad man.
Yeah, that was funny. I just was drunk texting you like all of Friday night.
Bad man.
No, we were also drinking beer and we ended up getting Corona and they gave it to us with lime on it.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, no. But like I did the lime game. You put the lime in your mouth and you chew on it for as long as you can before it's too sour.
I'd win that because it's not sour.
Yeah, no, lime is not sour.
You didn't push it into the bottle and drink the Corona?
No,
like
I don't care for it.
You're just weird. I don't drink Corona, but even I know you're supposed to have it with the lime.
I don't like it with the lime.
You're not. Well, I just
did. You just almost say I'm not an alcoholic? Because yeah, I'm not.
I mean, I was
jackass.
I was at dinner with my family, and they ordered a blood orange margarita.
Okay,
it was really good.
Congratulations!
I couldn't finish the entire thing because I was like, "All right, I'm starting to get a buzz here, and I need to drive and do this podcast." So I was. Maybe I won't finish.
Oh, this was tonight.
It was tonight. I had a blood orange margarita. I was like, I'd
love to have
here.
Drunk Mike on the podcast. No, see, that would be interesting because I feel like I'm the one who's always just like shit faced.
But my brain would be just shut down completely.
I know. I'm not talking about the podcast. I'm talking about like when we hang out, I feel like I'm the one who always overdoes it.
But my brain would still be shut down completely.
What I'm saying is I need to get you drunk one day. I just need to see what you're like drunk. I've never been drunk with you, I think.
I know I can handle 5 shots of tequila.
Nice.
Like I get a little, I feel myself a little, be a little wobbly, but I'm still there.
Okay.
I'm still, the problem with how I act in real life, like how I,
you're already kind of drunk to begin
with.
Yeah,
the way I act versus the way I act drunk, you don't know if I'm drunk or if I'm hyped up on cocaine. So it's just a roll of the dice for me.
We need set up rules for this show. We need to stop talking about coke on it.
It is with cocaine.
It literally kicks a bump. So much. Ask your sinuses. But no, seriously,
be real clear.
Seriously, we talk about cocaine in every episode. I don't get why.
Because the time frame where we're watching these shows.
Yeah. It's cocaine o'clock.
Stallone was doing cocaine. Yeah. Doc Brown definitely was doing cocaine. Marty, yeah. I need a bump. Oh, we gotta build a time machine. That's why he slipped. He didn't slip and hit his head on the toilet. He was doing coke on the toilet and came over the flux capacitor. And he went, woo, banged his head on the toilet. Doc is hiding something here.
Doc is definitely on coke, and that adds up. Yeah, that's our three running gags in every episode.
Coke Stallone.
Running references. Coke Stallone and Back to the Future.
Got it. Just don't worry. Got to work them in.
Also a very 80s sentence. Just saying. Wow. Is Reagan president again? You know, if you look in a mirror and you say Coke, Rambo, and Back to the Future three times fast.
Are you talking about the drug or the soda? Who knows?
Who knows? But if you're saying Coke, Rambo, and Coke, Rambo, and Back to the Future into a mirror three times, Reagan becomes president again.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's a
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, yes. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Media Obscura podcast. We can't recommend Scrubs enough for you guys.
Please.
So if you check it out and you enjoy it, definitely let us know. Reach out to us. Seriously, we love it. It makes us feel good about ourselves. Makes me feel important. And that's a good feeling.
Have a wonderful day, guys.
Yeah.
Have it's a wonderful warm day. Out.
It was it's gorgeous out today.
Yeah, it's getting warm out. Things are blooming. Japanese cherry blossoms are blooming, so make sure to go find out where cherry blossoms are and go watch them bloom.
Yeah, and whatever you do, for the love of God, without fail,
do cocaine.
If you get no, don't tell them to do cocaine.
Do cocaine.
Are we gonna? I'm not even saying it for the sake of our sponsors that I want to eventually get for us. I'm saying it because I just don't like sharing.
All right, fine. Fine, don't do cocaine.
That's better. For the love of God and all that is mighty, don't go to a barbecue hosted by Mike. Because one, he'll either be buck-ass nude.
And
it'll be in your backyard. And three, I think there'll be cocaine there. You know, he seems like he's talking about cocaine. I don't think that's salt. That isn't salt in the salt shaker, Mike. That's some straight-up Colombian cocaine.
When I make French toast, I use cocaine instead of powdered sugar. So I just have cocaine toast.
Ah, yes. Breakfast of champions.
Coke toast.
The Al Capone of breakfasts.
It's Coke toast.
Coke toast. Anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a good one. And bye.
Love you.